you never know what you're going to find. There's been weird birds show up in Illinois. An ivory gull showed up, and that bird's from the Arctic Circle.
You never know what surprises you can find in your own backyard. I'm Steve Fast, and this is Random Acts of Knowledge, presented by Heartland Community College, where we talk to experts of many fields. They share their knowledge with us, and hopefully, we learn a little something. So let our expert introduce himself.
I'm Dave Weth, and I teach a bird watching class here at Heartland. It's a lot of fun. This will be my seventh time teaching it. So I have a lot of fun with it. So even if I don't see birds, I practice my stand-up routine with them. So I like to have fun with them.
When is the best time of year, or is there a best time of year for bird watching?
You can find birds any time of the year, but early May through May is when migration in spring, and the birds are all in their breeding plumage, and it's kind of like Christmas for a birder that whole month. Fall migration is spread out more. They're not as in a big of a hurry to get back home as they are in the spring to breed. So, but yeah, any time of the year, I mean, you can find different birds around, but probably May is the key month.
So when did you get into this?
I was always a bird fan when I was a little boy, and then as life comes along, you get out of it. And I had a rare bird show up in my backyard maybe, it was over 10 years ago. And this is before Facebook and everything. I posted the sighting on what used to be a Google group. I got back home that night, checked my email, and there was just a bunch of people wanting to come see it in my backyard, and I had let them. And that's how I met the local birders and felt comfortable with them, and it just kind of grew from there for me.
How do you most often approach identifying birds? Do you do it by sight? Do you do it by sound? Do you listen and then look? How's it go?
It depends on the bird. Some you're going to see first, like a bald eagle, large bird, able to spot it. Some birds, and I try to teach my class this, that you're going to hear them before you see them, and you may never see them. Little birds like to hang out in the tall grass or whatever. So I'm a big fan of what I call, it's called birding by ear. And people get frustrated with that. They'll walk along with me and they're like, how do you know these calls? And I kind of put it like music. If your favorite song comes on the radio, you know what it is, if it's the Beatles or whatever. And so once you do it enough, it just becomes second nature. Well, that's a Carolina wren that's calling or whatever. And I will sit. It's one of the weird things I do, but I'll sit quietly and I'll make my mind listen to how many birds are calling. And you'd be surprised how many are jabbering at one time. But
well, are you ever out watering your lawn or something and one will catch your ear when you're not even paying attention?
Oh, definitely. And then I'm searching for him. Yeah.
What do you do then? You hear the call. And let's just say that we're not as advanced as you. Let's just say that I hear a bird. And a lot of times in my neighborhood, I hear this little almost like a rat-a-tat chirp of a bird.
Okay.
And I go looking for that guy because I want to know where he is because he's loud. Where should I first start looking? Should I look up? Should I look at lower branches? I mean, is there a methodology I should follow to try to identify it by sight?
Yeah, I guess I don't want to lead you astray because it could be up high, but then some birds prefer to stay down low. So depending on the bird is where you, it's just something you kind of learn over time. Most wrens are going to hang down low because you may be hearing a Carolina wren in your neighborhood or a house wren or something, and they'll stay low. Whereas a lot of birds prefer to go up in the trees. So I guess, yeah, just patience more than anything.
So does it depend what time of day I would hear this as to where I might look or to what birds I'm likely to find?
Birds are most active first thing in the morning, like as soon as the sun comes up, because most of them are hungry. They haven't slept all night without food, and their little systems need food. So that's when they're most active, and then they're most active again towards dusk. They're starting to eat to get the rest in.
Let's go through a little exercise here. Let's go through the basics. Now, as somebody that doesn't know anything about it, I'm thinking that when you're trying to identify a bird visually and you're looking around, that there are certain things you want to maybe check off the list. Color, I would think it would be obviously a factor. Shape, what are some of the things that you're looking for to try to figure out what it is that you're seeing?
Advanced birders start looking at wing bars. You know, markings on the wings. You can look at the color of the legs. One of the key things a lot of times is the shape of the bill, because finches have a different bill as compared to a wren, because it's all based on what they eat.
Does the shape differ in matter?
A lot of times I try to base, because everybody knows what a robin and about the size of a robin. So if people are trying to figure it out, is it larger or smaller than a robin? and we can narrow it down from there. And then I'll ask them, well, where did you see it? And a lot of it's environment where you'll find a bird. Certainly, like I say, the wrens will hang out in scrubby areas and that type of thing, whereas robins will be out near the lawn. But yeah, shape, size, color. Color is going to be the key, especially in spring. Fall's a little tougher because they're no longer in their breeding plumage, and they're a lot duller, shall I say, color-wise, not mind-wise, but yeah.
You mentioned that you look at where they are and what they're doing. If I were trying to find a wren, first of all, am I going to find 5 different kinds of wrens? Am I going to find 100 different kinds of wrens in central Illinois? What am I looking for? Let's say that I've got one task. I'm going to go find a wren in my yard tonight. What do I do?
Okay, it's probably, and they're probably gone already this time of year, but a house wren or a Carolina wren is most likely what's going to be around your house. There's a couple of other little wrens that migrate through, the marsh wren, a sedge wren, and a winter wren that you won't find. But the house wren, the Carolina wren stays year-round. House wren's here for the summer breeding season, and the other ones are just kind of migrating through. So odds are you're going to find a house wren.
Okay, so if I'm looking for a house wren, what am I looking for and where am I looking?
A little brown bird that'll sing all day long, even in the hottest summer day, and jabbering along. And they love, you can put up little housing in your yard because they like being around people. And so that's more than likely what you'll find.
Now that's interesting to me. I wasn't aware that any birds liked being around people. I'm always afraid I'm going to scare away the birds, even if I have set out food for them, if I have a birdhouse. Some of them are more tolerant of people than others.
Yes, they've adapted. They've had to because we just keep taking more of their area. I mean, you could go to a park and the way those ducks act, they've adapted to being around people as opposed to maybe a one run to at the lake, maybe a little more skittish. But
because they're looking for habitat, because they're looking for food, what are those wrens looking for?
Habitat. Food-wise, they eat insects and everything, so they're not dependent upon the feeders. But we're the ones that put up the little houses for them. So it gives them a place to stay. And like purple martins, they will only nest in man-made structures this side of the Mississippi. So if we don't put the houses up for them, they're not going to nest here.
What other structures might they nest in?
Cavities in trees, natural cavities that they'll find. But this side, for some reason, they've taken over to just man-made structures.
Are there any particular things that draw a bird to build some nesting area outside of a tree? I've noticed sometimes you'll see a nest someplace you're not expecting it, like in, you know, somebody's porch in the corner or something like that.
Yeah, robins will nest on top of your porch light. Barn swallows will stick a nest up on a shelf. They've all adapted to homes. I think they feel secure in some ways if they're under your porch from predators.
Probably makes sense. Fewer of them are coming up to the top of the porch there. It's harder to climb that in the tree.
Yeah. Except the UPS man, I think they're all right.
So what are some things that you can do if you have a yard of any size, a small yard or maybe even a big place, to make your area more bird friendly and possibly draw some of these birds to your own backyard?
Birds have 3 basic needs, and that would be shelter, food, and water. Water is sometimes the most important, even in the a lot of people don't think of it, but in the wintertime, that's when they need water most because they can't get it in a little stream or a puddle. And food, of course, in the winter because it gets tough. And native plants, even like berry-producing shrubs that will produce berries in the fall that they like. Any native plant, certain flowers, any red flower will attract hummingbirds. You can put zinnias out or, you know, cardinal flower or whatever. But yeah, native plants, just give them some place to hide if they have to. If you got the room, and I have one in my own backyard, but I've produced a brush pile. It's a place for them to dive in, and they'll spend winter nights in there or whatever, seek shelter. So,
if you want to put out a feeder, any tips on where to put it and what kind of feed to use?
As far as feed, it depends on what you want. If you want finches, you get the thistle seed, or you can just get a common, one of the mixed feeds, but try not to get the cheaper end, because there's a lot in there that they won't eat, like the little red millet and stuff. Maybe spend a little bit extra at not one of the big box stores and get a decent feed. And as far as placement, you always want to have a little bit of, you don't want it near a shrub where a neighbor's cat can hide, but you want it close enough that they can dive in if something comes in. And maybe not too close to a home to avoid window strikes, that type of thing. no matter where you can pull one up and feed my little friends, it makes me happy.
One of the things that has changed a lot, when I think of bird watching, you traditionally think of people might want to, you know, get some binoculars or getting a bird identification book, that sort of thing when they go out. But now there's a lot more opportunities. So are there any apps, for instance, for your phone that are great for bird watching or for bird identification?
Yeah, there's several apps. The go-to field guide among birders is the Sibley Guide to Birds. And they have an app. Now, it's not free, but it's basically having a full field guide on your phone. Audubon has a bird app that's free, and it's got bird calls and stuff on there. And then there's one from the Cornell lab that is called Merlin, and people can actually upload a picture that they may have taken, and it helps try to identify it based on where you are, what time of year. And the more people input, the more data they have, and more likely they are to identify your bird. So
when you've been doing this, have you ever been surprised by some of the birds that you've been able to find?
Oh,
unusual ones.
It's a treasure hunt. You never know what you're going to find. I was just out this weekend, and a peregrine falcon came swooping in and landed on a tree, and I photographed it out at Evergreen Lake. And there's been weird birds show up in Illinois. An ivory gull showed up about a year and a half or so ago, and that bird's from the Arctic Circle. And it just happened to be in Quincy, Illinois, and of course, me and my buddy went down to find it. So, yeah, you never know what's going to show up. My daughter got hooked into birding because I took her out to find Western grebes were reported at Lake Bloomington. It was in November of a year, but that bird's supposed to be on the West Coast, and it kind of triggered something with her. How does it end up here? So there are no boundaries for them. You never know what's going to show up. It's fun to find a rare bird.
Are there any birds that we're starting to see more or are at a different time than we used to?
I believe so. This year alone, there was cormorants that hung out at Evergreen Lake all summer, and they usually were more of a northern breeder, maybe just into Wisconsin or whatever. You see pelicans more often. There's birds, a western kingbird nest. It's clear down by Havana, but a lot of things are changing their range. A western meadowlark hangs out by Towanda here in town, so things are changing. And the more you follow it and keep track, you find these things out. It's fun.
Anything else in general to what people will learn in the class, the things that might strike them to want to take the class?
I would say I will try to teach you. A lot of people struggle with binoculars. I'll try to teach binoculars. Even the use of a field guide, reading range maps. Some birding by ear, and we just have fun.
All right, Dave, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us about this.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. Happy birding.
Ah, same to you.
Dave Weth teaches you to watch birds at Heartland Community College. For his class and other continuing education opportunities, visit heartland.edu. Click on Learn Something New for Fun. This has been Random Acts of Knowledge, presented by Heartland Community College. Thanks for listening.